It's always about the show, bro.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Crossover time, Willard Dibbs, along with Evan in for Steiny and Guru.
The Jets!
Yes, sir. Well, now you got the jacket on.
It does get colder in here as the day goes.
It's chilly.
No, this room,
for the people who listen to us, they wouldn't know this. This room.
Well, someone hit with a UPS comment. I didn't want to.
No, you look good. You look good. And I almost wore that fine. Quarter zip today.
Yeah, you wore it yesterday. I figured you wouldn't wear it 2 days in a row.
I saw you.
You don't know Dan Dibley well enough, actually.
Dude, your boy
Dibley totally wears stuff 2 days in a row.
On occasion, and I'll wrap myself out. On occasion, with the baby in the schedule, I will, like, I'll run it back. I'll change the drawers, but I will run it all back.
I figured it was plus 250. I was willing to bet.
2 weeks ago.
Change the drawers. Prove it.
Whatever. I won't.
You can't.
You won't.
And you can't.
That's nasty. It might have been last week when we were out there.
Yeah, the drawers you got.
It was when we were live at Fremont Bank, I think, and I was like, you know, we were at the Madden thing, and we're side by side.
Yes.
And I'm like, you may want me to move over a little bit, because your boy didn't get a chance to shower.
Oh, no, Willard. I know that.
Because he's giving me a little bit of a look. I'm like, is that because I'm pitting out?
You can take a late worker bath.
Yeah.
And you could.
And you could. The sink.
Yeah. But, you know.
It's a good thing you didn't
some people
move
do
too
it over here.
Because I'm not going to HIPAA laws, but COVID was at the end of the
Somebody
table.
Somebody was sick. Yeah, no
COVID
doubt.
COVID was at the end of the table. Boy. So it's a good thing you didn't move too far.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Some people brush their teeth in the bathroom here. I don't know.
Yeah, I used to actually do that at work. When I did morning show, I would bring my toothbrush and I would I'd brush it out.
But behind your head, Ken, Ken got a big, his face lit up and started nodding when you said some people brush their teeth in the bathroom. Which
more
made
than
me,
one.
Yeah, was that a you thing?
I've seen it before. I don't do it.
Yeah.
I don't think you can anymore, though, Will.
I saw it an hour ago.
No, I think you can.
Yeah. Who's going to stop
an hour
you?
Ago. I saw it an hour ago. Didn't want to say anything.
You can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
That's
but
true.
I think about my neighbor.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad somebody does.
Wait, because he had money on Maction last night, or what?
No, not you guys.
Dude,
are my
too
neighbors.
Soon.
Yeah. Did you
it's
lose?
Too soon. Yeah,
you
I lost.
See, I didn't pay attention
in
to that.
In the rain.
Freaking
I'm
Ball State, dude.
I mean, it was Bowling Green.
It was like high school.
There were two games.
Okay.
It was two games.
Bowling Green under, didn't bet it, but Ball State with my buddy Sean.
Oh, no.
Shout out Shawnee Sean. We're texting, and he's like, man, I'm feeling itchy. I said, let me do some homework. So I go online, and I'm doing all this work, and I'm looking at him. I'm going, Ball State's going to roll Miami of Ohio.
I had the team total.
Or Miami of Ohio's going to roll Ball State. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. So Miami of Ohio is up 21-13 at the half, and they're dominating. The only score that Ball State had was on some fluky and typical match.
Was it the pick six?
The punter drops it, and he decides, oh, I'm going to throw it.
Oh, man.
I'm going to throw it. And he throws like a 2-yard duck that's, you know, pick six. And so I'm thinking, well, this is, I mean, they're going to roll. They're way better. They had to hold on for dear life.
Little Darryl
didn't
goes,
cover
why are
the
you watching those teams? I wanted to say, son,
try to watch something. I don't want to watch any of the other channels.
How do you guys gamble on teams you've never watched before?
You go online and you
you click yes. No, like, what do you mean? I mean,
physically,
you can get so many people mad at you. But there's prep. But I do what I do, and they got some sharks.
You watch tape or what?
But it's all at the end of the day, you got to go out and perform, right? And sometimes those
agreed.
Are where you get the most fun of. Who's Willard at quarterback?
And that's what's got to be the problem is betting on 19-year-olds, because you've had one. You're about to have one. You basically are one. I've had a couple.
Actually, Evan 30, though.
Sneaky 30.
But I think you can over-prepare, too, because let's be honest. The line is sitting there, which means either side could win. So this is you're giving me thoughts about my family does a Thanksgiving pool because we're all going to be together.
Okay.
And so my brother-in-law is in charge of it, and there are always games, like tons of college games. There's no way you followed all of them, you know? You work for the Pac-12 network. I'm like, I got it. I know what USC's doing. I know what Cal's doing. And then he'll throw in, all right, Ball State is going, and you're like,
Miami, Ohio.
What the hell?
Ball State's terrible.
And I'm not spending hours on this. So you look at the line, you look at the overall schedule of like what they've done, you look at the recent schedule, you start diving in, and I'm telling you, E, in about 6 minutes.
Yep, you're an expert.
I've convinced myself
you're an expert.
That I know what's going on. But don't act like we don't all do it. You've all filled out a March Madness bracket. Ain't got no idea what any of those teams are.
My bracket stinks, but my bets are legit. That's the one thing where I...
Yeah, because you got a system. You're a system quarterback.
And as you know, we're already underway in...
Oh, I love it. March is the only month where I do bet blindly.
And you realize that tomorrow we will be, I want to make sure I get this right, 19 weeks away from the tourney.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think the countdown's begun. 33 days from tomorrow.
Now, that sounds far, 19 weeks.
Yeah, it really isn't. Yeah. You know what sounds far? 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's apropos of nothing, but 4 years sounds
fun.
I'm going to be 60 in four years.
It's also going to be a blind bet.
Like, what is Moses Moody going to do that year? Who is he going to play
for? He's going to finally rent a car.
Okay. Will the Boston Celtics be a dynasty in 4 years?
No doubt, man.
He's going to rent a car.
Boston, I just want to bring this out because I wish Steiny were here for this because he is of a certain vintage to remember, but I was doing my Boston homework because we're going to talk about a rivalry. Celtics and the Warriors, and if it's a rivalry, and I'm going to argue that it is, but it had me thinking back to 1980 when the Golden State Warriors traded Robert Parrish. You guys talked to Cornbread earlier,
and
I'm going to get to your part of it because I felt for you. I feel for you, Shaka Khan, for what happened to you in that interview.
We don't know where you're going either.
But the trade,
call me Eric.
1980, when the Warriors traded the third overall pick and Robert Parrish, and they got the first and the 13th back. Boston said, thank you, we'll take the Chief, and we'll draft Kevin McHale. And the Warriors took Joe Barry Carroll.
He played hard, though.
And some guy named Ricky with an
Sometimes.
E.
Sometimes, yeah.
Ricky with an E, who never really amounted to anything. And yeah, Joe Barry Carroll was, he was all right for 2 years, but they
first center I ever seen
play
basketball.
They got Parrish and McHale.
Yeah, is it the worst trade in NBA history?
That's what I said on our thread.
Wow.
And
is
I do
it?
Believe that it is.
I mean, it's not like I'd have to have a list of all the trades, but
the Warriors drafted Parrish in 76, and he had three really solid years. And then Boston said, thank you, next, Ariana Grande. And by the way, we're going to take McHale at three because the Celtics didn't want Joe Barry Carroll anyway. So they traded for a real center, and then they got Kevin McHale. Thank you very much.
That's amazing. Hall of Famer.
And then they already had Larry Bird.
Yeah.
Larry Bird.
Man.
In a draft and stash.
Who played with Cornbread Maxwell, not the other way around.
And that's what I want to talk to you about, because not only did he check you with that, because he's asking Cornbread, he's like, yeah, you know, you had a chance to play with Larry Bird and Kevin
McHale. Not a chance. I said you played with Larry Bird, and I was about to say Parrish.
Hold on, young fella. And then
they played with me.
Yeah, that's what he said.
And you played it off great. And then, you know, after the little back and forth, it was hilarious. And then you got back to your question. And you're halfway through your question, which was a good one. He was asking about Steph Curry and longevity because the Chief played to 40. And by the time you got halfway through, he's like, hold on a minute. There's some fans here. Make some noise. I'm on in San Francisco.
Yeah,
twice.
And so he couldn't even get through his second effort at the question. And I thought, you know what, E? This is a bad beat. It's a good question. And Cornbread. And Cornbread's like, yeah, Guru, they're loving you out here. Guru, they're loving you.
Dude, he was crazy.
And poor Evan's trying to do journalism, and this guy is getting checked and then discount double checked. I felt for you.
You know, usually you get six fouls. I feel like I used seven during that interview, but it was...
It was a road game because he loves the goo.
Yeah. No, it was fun, though.
I tried to get some about Tatum and how he was dealt with, or how he deemed he was dealt with by Kerr. And I'm thinking the guy that wears the green and the leprechaun to sleep is going to say, yeah, Tatum's coming for the Warriors. Willard Dibbs, you heard. He said he thought Kerr did right. He had a championship to win for the country, and Tatum wasn't playing well.
It's kind of hard to argue scoreboard, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know that they wouldn't have won it anyway or whatever, but, like, you won. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, remember the Giants titles when Pablo just... They took him out of the lineup.
Yep.
Well, you won.
And Timmy, too, right?
Tim Lincecum.
Yep.
See here.
Now, Washburn, though, who covers the Celtics, said on the morning show he does think Tatum's got a little bit of an axe to grind tonight.
Yeah.
And I would argue advantage Warriors.
Because he'll try to do too much.
Well, go take a look at what happens when Jason Tatum decides tonight's a big night. He sucks.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Man. Jason Tatum, every year in the playoffs, is like, I'm channeling Kobe tonight. And then goes and 2 for 15.
No, it happens. It happens.
Like, you're not Kobe. And the more he focuses in and goes, tonight's a big night,
he's
been Willard? Kobe the first 8 games of this season.
Yeah, that's fine, because those are just also ran games against Charlotte.
But the NBA Finals, he didn't have the best finals.
Who was NBA Finals MVP?
Jaylen Brown.
Well, but Andre Iguodala was Finals MVP, too, but he wasn't the best player on that team.
But they got that one wrong.
Yeah. Sure.
Right, but bottom line is, in the NBA, when you win a championship...
No, Tatum's great,
and
but
you're the leading scorer,
booty,
and you don't win the NBA Finals MVP, that's kind of a... There's a narrative there. There's something to be said. I would argue that the numbers do bear out that Jason Tatum has been a better regular season player than he's been in the playoffs in his career.
But to E's point real quick here, I think there is something to be made that experience, if JT takes it as it was bad, has lit a fire under him to where we don't see that Tatum anymore. And he's ultra aggressive like he's been early
on. See.
Still like 26 or 27 years old.
I mean, no, he's a great player.
No, nobody's taking a shot at the player he is, but if he gets jacked up and he's like circles tonight, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing for the Warriors.
And I'm regretting that we didn't ask Steve yesterday about his 12-man rotation with Golden State that he didn't think that he could have in the Olympics. When you had 12 better players in the Olympics, and you wouldn't play 12 then, but you'll play 12 now?
Eight less minutes.
It's a good question, but it's about 21 hours late. Or 23 hours late. We had him at 3 yesterday.
You can still ask him.
And
next
he was
week.
Right. Eight
I
less
should.
Minutes,
it's a little
Dibs.
Bit less time late. But.
Well, but I mean, you know, they'll be playing someone from the Olympic
you're
team
right.
next week, too.
And you're right. Less minutes, fewer minutes. There's two
more for Derek White.
And, Derek White and, you know, Halliburton and Sweats.
They're
he didn't play either.
They're playing Luka next week. He just wasn't on the American team.
True that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And eventually they're going to play Richache, and they'll play Wembanyama and various other Frenchies as well. So the question still, I guess, can live as we go further into the season. But tonight, Goo, as we give you parting words, I am super, super excited because I do think that this is a rivalry.
I'll have the radio on as I go to the dentist, but I don't know if it has that meat on the bone to where I'd love to hear why, because I don't know what you think, Evan, and what you think, Willard. Lakers-Celtics, I get it. Pistons-Celtics, Warriors-Lakers.
I got
Boston.
Guru with a cavity at -140, general cleaning at +160.
I'll do the general cleaning. No cavity. No,
Root canal is -300.
You got a family
thing.
Well,
I just had a licorice, and they're going to be mad, but I had some licorice. But the bottom line is I'm going to get the other piece of a cap put on. So,
okay. Yeah,
put it in the cap.
It's already done. It's
Thank
already
you.
Done.
It's post-root canal.
I love that we always try to impress the dentist. I love that we do that, although not you. You just had licorice. But like that was such a thing when I was a kid. Like my mom would not let you know, you can't eat that. We're going to the dentist today. Well, they're going to brush my teeth. That's the whole point. I think you should do the opposite when you're going to the dentist, especially in early November. Go find your kids Halloween candy and lose your mind for an hour before you go to the dentist, and they'll clean it for you.
Well, but before I join Goo, I do want to remind everyone that you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco, always live in the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First North Cal Credit Union.
And you stay as long as you want, by
the way. You don't have a dentist appointment.
Well, no, I don't, but I do have somewhere to be. I was wondering...
No, you don't. No,
well
you
played.
Don't.
Yeah, I bet he does.
No, but
30.
Well, I am looking forward to why you guys. Well, specifically Dibs. I'm not sure if you co-sign, but why
I never
it
co-sign
is
with Dibs.
A rivalry.
Ever. It's a rule.
Well, for me, it goes back to the NBA Finals, where you know Boston. They probably. I won't say that they were the better team, but they probably had a better regular season, and
they definitely did.
And they thought that they were the better team, and then the Warriors came in and they snatched it. And Steph Curry did what he did in Game 4, and they did what they did to Draymond Green, and it didn't matter. They maybe shook him in that one game, but the Warriors eventually won that series. And yeah, Boston came back and won their own last year, but I look at these two teams and the rivalry, and I do go back to 1980 and that trade where Boston got over on the Warriors, and the Warriors have been a laughingstock for so long. But now, if you look at franchises over the last, 10 years since the Warriors started their little run, you would talk about Cleveland and the Warriors and Boston and Maybe the Lakers, I doubt it, but yeah. Boston's been one of the preeminent franchises over the last 10 years. The Warriors have been number one. Cleveland maybe number two or Boston or whatever, but I think because of that and the Joe Lacob connection, I think it's a rivalry.
Well, one of the worst trades I would like to say was 2017 draft day when the Sixers traded the third overall pick for the first overall pick for the right to draft Markelle Fultz. And the third overall pick became the guy who's going to shrink tonight, Jason Tatum.
Mm. Yeah.
So
wow.
That was a pretty bad trade, too. I think it was also involved, that pick might have been involved in the KG and Paul Pierce deal to Brooklyn for four future firsts, which did not bode well for the billionaire McHale, whatever his name was, that bought that team. But I'm also looking forward to Warriors Live tonight at 3:30, right before the 4:30 tip. And you can catch it all right here on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.
The smartest show in the Bay Area.
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey! Let's go. That's right. The Warriors and the Celtics are going to be playing here in just a couple of hours, right here on 95.7 The Game. You need to expand on what you just said. So start with define rivalry.
Rivalry is a matchup among teams where there is history and some bad blood and a game that rises above the level of a normal regular season game.
Okay, and then earlier today you said to me, and I want you to explain this, that this, the Warriors and Celtics, are a reverse Chiefs-Niners.
Yeah, and the Chiefs-Niners is the Niners are the little brother where they have not gotten over on the Chiefs, and the Chiefs have won what, three Super Bowls now, including two over you? And so you are the little brother in the relationship. And in this one, I think that Boston is the little brother. Even though they are defending champs and they've got their neat little cute little one title in this era, I know they have many, many more going back to Bill Russell and Paul Pierce and the rest of it, but I think that they still look at this Warrior team as being the big brother. And maybe not coming off of last year, but in general, you look at the Warriors, and when the Warriors come to your town and you've got Steph and Draymond, you get up for that game. And Jason Tatum, having been mostly snubbed by Steve Kerr in the Olympics, I do think he has a chip on his shoulder. And so if you're Boston, and you also think about the owner, Joe Lacob was a minority owner with Boston, and then he broke away from there, bought this team, and the rest is ongoing history. So I do think that Boston looks at the Warriors a little bit like the Niners look at the Chiefs.
I love this. I think you're probably right. I can't get my mind around being a Boston fan, and I mean that in about 18 different ways.
Yeah.
I am never, ever, and this isn't me being a coastal elite, but I'm never going to wear a t-shirt that has another human being's name on it that says that person is a B. Like that's just not really in my personality. But if that's you, have a great time, get a beer, get a dog, scream and yell. That's have a great time. But I think you're on to something, which is that I don't know if rivalry is the right word, but what you sort of said when we were talking about this earlier is when these two teams get together, no matter the scenario or the backdrop, it feels big. In other words, this is game eight. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's game eight. There's absolutely nothing on the line. But there is, just because. It just feels big. Sunday Night Football 2 weeks ago was a 3-4 team against a 3-3 team. And the 3-4 team we think might be good. The 3-3 team we all thought stinks. Guess what? Spoiler alert, they do. And now they lost their quarterback. But it felt big because you had big brands and big history. And so that on that level is where I'll agree with you tonight.
Yeah, and I think that when these two teams get together, at least for the time being, it is elevated. Like, you want to go Friday against Cleveland, that it's an elevation sensation, which is the original.
My God.
Thank you.
I'm like, he's not going to miss this one, is he?
And we should actually play the Tim Roy when the original gets orated. It's an elevation sensation.
Well, does it even count anymore? He even admitted to us last week. He barely uses it anymore.
No, but when he does, it's so magical.
It's a big deal.
And I love it when I hear it, and it makes me smile because it makes me think that he's doing it for me because I've asked him time and time again, and you did it too. Yeah. Can you use it more?
Can you just do it, please?
Come on, Tim. Like, so many dunks. Can you just do it?
Well, I mean, it's like going to a concert of your favorite group and they won't play the best song.
No doubt.
Like, come on, man. Give us what we came for.
That's exactly it.
Thank you.
But he feels like it kind of cheapens his overall acumen as a broadcaster, and I get that, so I don't want to pressure
him.
He's
trying not to overexpose it.
Right.
And that's fine, but we're going to be here to encourage him to do exactly the opposite.
No doubt. And I think that when these two teams get together, it does become elevated. Like Friday against Cleveland, LeBron's gone, and Cleveland's good, but it doesn't feel like, all right, Warriors-Cavs, it's a finals rematch. No, it's really not, because they don't have anybody remaining who played. Kevin Love is gone, Kyrie's gone, LeBron's gone, Tristan Thompson is somewhere, and you get the point. I think he's actually in Boston. I could be wrong, but
who knows?
The point is,
whatever.
Like in OKC, yeah, we can all hearken back to Game 6 Clay, and that was cool, but that team is totally different as well. But when you get to Boston, and it's just a couple years removed from the NBA Finals, and remember that series where the Warriors were in trouble. Draymond went there after a split here, and it was F you, Draymond. Draymond's a B. He played poorly.
He got flustered.
They lost by 16. You're down 2-1.
Yeah.
Facing a 3-1 hole on the road. And then, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Here comes Steph.
Yeah, dude, that was, you and I have talked about it so many times. It goes down as one of my top five favorite Bay Area sort of championship or late playoff moments that I can remember. And brought the boys and did the watch party inside Chase Center, where Chase Center opened up, and we watched that game there. But you remember the 48-hour news cycle leading up to that game? Dude, it was a death march.
Yep.
The Warriors were done. And Boston was the better team, and they were going to clearly do this, that, and the other. They never won another game.
No.
They never won another game.
Steph went 14 of 26, 7 of 14 from 3. He had 43... Clay with 18, Wiggins with 17. Thank you, Andrew. That's the Andrew we need again tonight.
I remember that, Andrew.
107-97, the Warriors snatch it back at Boston, and they didn't lose again.
And they never lost again.
And I do think that even though Boston had their title last year, which was great, they were again a very good team, and they handled their business. I still think when Golden State comes to town, and the chef in that building, there still is that feeling of, oh, we got to get this guy. And now that Steve Kerr has disrespected Jason Tatum by not playing him in the Olympics, P.S., they still won gold. I think that there's layers to the rivalry.
Our buddy Anthony Slater said this earlier today with regard to Kerr facing boos tonight.
He knows what's coming. The good thing for the Warriors is, like, to me, that's the best guy in their organization. He loves to take that stuff and kind of get the spotlight off his players. Draymond in the locker room the other night was joking that, like, you know, that he won't be booed as hard because the attention is shifted away from him, right? This is a place that always loves to go after Draymond. Not that they won't have some venom for him tonight, but I don't worry about how Steve Kerr handles a situation like that, because that's literally probably what he's best at his job, right? Just kind of like shouldering pressure and handling that. I mean, that stuff doesn't seem to faze
him. Well, yeah, Steve doesn't need to shoot the ball tonight. So that's perfect. If I'm a head coach and I can get the opposing fan base to focus on me as opposed to heckling the players on my team, that's a win. Perfect.
Yep.
What the hell is that going to do to Steve? He's just going to smile and sit in a chair.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe call a play or two and argue a call and, you know, challenge another and, you know, clap and basically hang out. Steve's not going to be too deterred, I think, with his four titles. And Joe Mazzulla, great coach. His winning percentage is bananas since he took over. And he's got the one title. And he might have the best team in basketball again. But this is just one game. And so if they want to boo Steve Kerr, I think he's going to pull through.
Well, yes, he will. But listen now to the differing takes that have come earlier today from Boston with regard to what this means to the little brothers of the Warriors, the Boston Celtics. So you guys were talking about in the crossover, the visit with Cornbread Maxwell. This is with Steiny and Goo, but it's with Goo and Evan. And this is what he said about Steve Kerr sitting Jason Tatum and what it means tonight.
Well, here's the thing, and I talked to Jason Tatum about this and asked him, you know, I said, people want to say you're upset, you didn't play. But Steve Kerr's job, and I might be one of the few people in here, his job was to win Olympic gold medal, not to make friends. And he did his job. He won a gold medal. Now, Jason Tatum wasn't playing well. And I don't think he deserved all that time that, you know, people wanted him to have.
Well, that's a big-time take now, coming from somebody that's so embedded in Boston. But Bonte and Joe earlier today talked to Gary Washburn, who covers the Celtics, and listen to how different this answer is.
Kerr will get a lot more vitriol from the fans than he will from, obviously, from Tatum. I mean, the fans are going to remember. They have long memories, so Kerr is going to get soundly booed when he's introduced as the head coach. And I think Tatum privately has had this game circled. He hasn't said much about it. He's not going to say much about it. But, of course, he wants to play well in front of his Olympic coach. He wants to show that he should have played in both of those games against Serbia, that he shouldn't have been benched. He's wanting to show that he's a top five player. It's a national TV audience. Obviously, it's the Warriors. It's Steph. It's Draymond, the team that beat him in the finals 2 years ago. So there's a lot of motivation for Tatum and for the Celtics. But I think Tatum is ready for this game.
Perfect. Get up for this one, Jason. Circle it. Let him know. This one's bigger than the others, because when the game's bigger than the others, you shrink. That's been his history. I'm not calling him a choke artist. The guy's had a lot of games played in the playoffs. He's had some good ones, but he's a lesser player in the playoffs, as evidenced by the hardware on Jaylen Brown's shelf.
No doubt. And, I mean, you look at what he was doing in the finals, and he was good, but he wasn't as good as Jaylen Brown. And they win that series mostly because of Jaylen Brown and not so much Jason Tatum. And, you know, you look at those games in the Olympics, and they beat Serbia, and Steve played 10 guys. And then they beat France, and Steve played 10 guys. And it was Halliburton, and it was Tatum, the two guys who didn't play. And Evan was right about the math of it, because you don't have 240 minutes. You only have 200 minutes because they play, you know, 4 10-minute quarters. So the minutes are harder to dole out. But KD and LeBron and Booker and Steph and Anthony Davis, they didn't have a hard time playing big minutes, nor did Holiday, who played 19 minutes. So, you know, there were minutes that could have gone around if he was going to be an impactful player, but he wasn't at that time.
Let me count this up real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, plus 14, plus 6. That's 20.
30. 10 plus 14 plus 6 is 30.
No. I was. That was an aggregation sensation.
That's a buck.
I was doing
10
plus 4 to 14. This is 20.
Okay.
Thank you. He played 20 playoff games last year. How many times, game show music, please. How many times do you think that Jason Tatum went over the 25-point mark in his 20 playoff games just last year?
I would guess, and you know, I should probably milk this a little bit because this is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, this is
and
a really big deal.
I'm just remembering in the finals where he might have gone over that number once in the five game, but earlier series, he probably got there at least once a series. I'm going to say 5 out of the 20 times he got over 25
times. Time out.
Stop the darn
music.
No,
okay, I found it. I lost it, and then I found it. You saying 5?
5 of 20
five
is my guess.
5 times. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1? Over 25, you're saying?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3,
okay.
4, 5.
8.
6, 7.
8. I got 8.
3, 4, 5, yeah. 6, 7. Yeah, 8. 8
anyway,
of 20.
Anyway,
there
that
you kind go.
Of died
what
on
is
the
going
final
on here?
Yeah, anyway, it's all right.
NBA Finals, maybe here's a better way to say it, in 3 times in a 5-game series, and I know they won. He didn't even get to 20. in three of the five games in the NBA Finals against the Dallas Mavericks last year.
Right. One of those games, they lost by 38.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, he had 15. They lost by 38. And
he was a minus 38. So he's out there for all of it.
Minus 33.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I got him at a minus 38. Anyway, whatever.
It's crazy. Yeah, anyway. Numbers are numbers.
Yeah, but those are my numbers. I see now. You're right. Minus 33. So yeah. He's out there for a good portion of it. He's out there for a good portion of it.
Greater point is that Jaylen Brown was better than he was, and when you got to a spot where the 12 best players in America were fighting tooth and nail for a gold medal that wasn't guaranteed, he played 0 minutes and 0 minutes in the two biggest games our country has faced in decades. And that, to me, is the biggest takeaway.
And actually, for me, sometimes this does get whittled down to a small sample. I'll tell you the one that really got me on this, and it's not last year, it's the year before. So this is the year after the Boston Celtics have been beaten by the Golden State Warriors for the NBA championship. And Jason Tatum is the best player on Boston, and they were supposedly the best team in the East, and they were out to avenge their loss against the Golden State Warriors. And they went all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals against the upstart 8-seed Miami Heat. And Game 7 was on Jason's floor. That's when an NBA superstar steps forward, right? Game 7, your floor, you're favored, you're avenging a loss in the NBA Finals the year before. And this guy went out there and scored 14 points and watched his team get blown off the floor by 19 so that the Miami Heat could go to the NBA Finals and lose to the Denver Nuggets. That's it. Like, that's to me, that's the stuff that we've seen happen multiple times in the past when Jason Tatum circles a game. So I hope he circles tonight. Go ahead. Circle it. Go out there with something to prove. Show Steve Kerr that he's a jerk. Do it. I hope that's exactly what happens from Jason Tatum tonight.
Yeah, he had 14 points in 41 and a half minutes as they got blasted. But to his, I mean, not to his credit, but to his case, they all were bad. They shot 39% as a team, and Miami took it to them. There wasn't a one Celtic outside of maybe Marcus Smart who was even halfway decent in that game.
I feel you.
But that was a home game. And Miami came in, and Jimmy Buckets took your soul with 28 points in a pretty lopsided, comfortable win.
Yep, yep. So I look at Jason Tatum as a really, really good player who still has a couple of things to prove. Look at this. FS1 right now is tonight. This is their question. You know how the debate shows do?
Yep.
Let's put a silly question on the board and then yell at each other about it. Here's the question. Is tonight a Tatum revenge game against Steve Kerr?
And below that is my favorite. Kerr benched Tatum twice in the 2024 Olympics.
Did he? I didn't know he put him in the first place.
That's my point. The whole word benched,
wow.
He was not benched. He just was the 11th man, and they were playing 10. Yeah. So was Kuminga benched because Steve chose to play him more,
but not
at the start of the game?
No, of course not.
Now, was Tatum benched, or was he just the 11th best player in a rotation where you're not even playing 10?
I'd argue Kuminga was more benched than Tatum because he was a starter and got moved to the bench. Tatum was never in there in the first place.
No, he played group play minutes when he was playing everyone knowing that you were going to beat South Sudan.
888-957-9570 is the number. Here's the other thing we really want to get to on this, and that is, what are you, the Warrior fan, looking for tonight? Because we thought this was one of the more interesting things that Steve Kerr said to us yesterday. And if you want to listen to the whole thing in full, because Steve is also and always fantastic, you can go to the Odyssey app. You can find it on YouTube, the full interview with Steve Kerr from yesterday right here on Willard and Dibs. But I threw out to him this next three-game stretch. You're 6-1. That's fancy. That's fun. But people will look at it and go, yeah, but you haven't played anybody. So a lot of fans are thinking, hey, this next three-game stretch, I'm waiting for that before I assess this team. And I said, Steve, what would you say to fans who feel that way.
In the course of 82 games, you just the schedule can go back and forth. Your health, lots of stuff can happen. You know, if you win 6 out of 7 in February, it doesn't get on the radar as easily as it does when you win 6 of your first 7 to start the season. So, you know, I know everybody is singing our praises, but the schedule has been kind to us to this point, and we're about to play probably the 3 best teams in the league the rest of this week. So great test for us. No matter what happens, we've got a ton of work ahead of us. I'm excited because when I watch the tape, I see all kinds of growth ahead of us. But it's going to take a lot of work and it's going to take some time.
Okay. So Steve is like, yeah, the schedule has been easy. So now we're going to see what we're made of. A, I think he's talking to his team and that's fine. And I am very aware that professional sports fans do not like moral victories. They don't like talking about it. They don't like acknowledging it. But what do you consider success for the remaining 3 games on this road trip?
Win one game. Just win one of the 3. And tonight's going to be very difficult because Boston was 37-4 at home last year. Boston beat you last year when you played in Boston. And I do think that they're going to be all kinds of ready and agitated and fired up for this game. And the Warriors are too. And I think that Boston's got some injuries they're dealing with. Jaylen Brown won't play. And Kristaps has had surgery. He'll be out for who knows how many years, because that guy always gets hurt. You feel for him, but Boston still is very deep. They're good, and they're tough at home. So this game, for me, is a difficult one. But if you can win one of the 3 and then come back for Clay night next Tuesday at 7-3, that to me would be a moral victory.
I would argue, and then win that one. So in other words,
yeah, I'm just focused on the next 3 games of the trip. And if you go 3-2 on this road trip,
that's fine.
We talked about it last week. Yep. Like 3-2 would be awesome.
But I agree, and then again, I would like to see them then win Tuesday. So in other words, these next 4 games are all against top level NBA competition, and there will be emotions in the building for all of them, particularly tonight, and then next Tuesday at Chase Center with Klay Thompson's return. If we offered you 8-3 for their overall record after next Tuesday night, so in other words, if we offered you 2-2 over the next 4 games as a Warrior fan, would you take it or not? 888-957-9570. Is that satisfying to you? Is that aiming too high? Is it aiming too low? 888-957-9570. If we offered you 8-3 after next Tuesday night, would you take it? I'm with you. I'd say yes, but let me add one more thing, which is that I want, and this is where the moral victory thing comes in, I don't just want you to only win one of the next 3 or whatever. I would like for the games to look a certain way.
Yeah.
So in other words, tonight, I don't need a win. I need a game.
Sure.
That's what I think we need to see tonight.
And I think, for me anyway, if I was to pick the 2 that I want to win, it would be tonight and it would be Tuesday. Beat Boston at Boston, and then you beat Dallas at home. If you had to pick 2, you only get 2 of these to win. For me, it's Cleveland, whatever, Eastern Conference. OKC, it would be nice.
OKC, I think that's
an in-season tournament game, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's the first one of the ISTs.
I don't know.
And that, for me, ratchets everything up a couple of notches.
Good Lord. What, are they going to have lights on the floor this year and make it really fun?
Those courts were awesome, you have to admit.
The courts were fun.
Yeah.
The courts were fun. And I'm so glad that millionaires made more money for their efforts. Cool. Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. And we're sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport. Let's take some calls, okay? We're going to start Warriors Live in an hour. 888-957-9570. If by next Tuesday night, the Warriors are just 8-3, if they go 2-2 over these next 4, does that feel good to you? Are you in on that? 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibbs.
Curry, play call from Steve Kerr.
He's getting double teamed.
Yep, screen by Payton the second. Curry launches, got fouled. He hits it anyway and nails the 3 to tie the game.
This guy is blistering hot right now.
Got fouled by Tatum. There was no call. Of course, always, opinions are free of charge here on Warriors Radio.
Now, back to Will and Dibby on 95.7 The Game.
All right, so we're not only excited because the Celtics play the Warriors here in a little bit.
Why else, Mark?
Right here on 95.7 The Game. Ooh! Ooh!
Talk to me.
We just got some details.
Wait, what kind of details? Ooh,
deets.
You got the deets?
Deets for next week.
Deets for next week.
And in 6 days, Klay Thompson plays at Chase Center.
I've heard of him.
Okay. And so,
do you know what they're going to do to honor him? It's supposed to be the greatest returning player moment in the history of returning players.
Thank you. We got to come up with a little, what's the motto for that? Because that's long, what you just said.
Right.
The greatest moment for returning players in the history of returning players. Like, well,
it's a Klay homecoming.
Let's tighten it up.
It's a home Klaying. Okay. No,
that's not it.
We're workshopping.
That's not it.
We're workshopping. We're brainstorming. See. You can buzz. I just thought that.
Yeah. Back to the drawing board.
Yeah, boy.
But anyway, let's work on that. But
it's better than Klay coming, which sounds dirty with the way you say it.
That's a little much.
Yeah, go ahead and dump that.
So here's what we're excited about. First of all, Monday on this show, we're giving away tickets to the game. That game.
Not a game.
No, that game.
The Klay game. Yeah.
Good. Tuesday, we are giving away a Klay Thompson jersey.
Mavericks or Warriors?
That was one of my thoughts, too. I didn't ask that question.
Washington
in the
State. It's a Warriors jersey.
Warriors.
Uh-huh.
Warriors.
Classic Washington
Warriors.
State.
Warriors.
Totally.
Can you imagine if we're giving, like, here's your Mavericks jersey? Anyway, it's a Warriors Klay Thompson jersey. We're giving that away on Tuesday. But where are we giving that away?
On 95.7, the game.
No.
And now I get to go home.
No, physically, are we going to be? We're going to be at the game. And it's going to be in the same schmancy place we were last week, which is our favorite Chase Center soiree we've ever had. We are Zaza on the Plaza. We are going to be out there right in front, looking straight across at Gotts, looking to the right at Chase Center, looking to the left over at Bonte and Mully and Festus and all that gang, like right out there on the plaza so that you can come see us, high five on your way into the game. But wait, there's more.
There can't be more than
there
that.
There is. Yeah. So, we are going to have a Klay Thompson carnival.
A Klaynival.
A carnival. I like carnival.
I think Klaynival is way better.
Yeah, Klaynival sounds like Klay's.
What do you got, buzzer guy?
No, that sounds like Klay's belly button. Klay navel.
I didn't say Klay navel. I said it's a Klaynival.
It's Klay's navel.
Tell me about the Klaynival.
Carnival. Carnival.
Klayapalooza? Tell me what's going to happen out there at this Klaynival.
Well, I think that discussions are still underway.
Okay.
But the idea is that we're going to have a whole area where you can just Klay out. Just like Klay all over the place if you want.
Whoa.
Before you go into the game. So in other words, there will be little stations where there will be a mini pool where you can pretend like you're going to go on a boat.
I'm on a boat.
With Klay Thompson. Okay, there's going to be that. I don't know if we're actually going to do this, but we should have a little spot where kids could just play with Klay.
Pretty
just
good, yeah.
Make, right? Get some Play-Doh out there.
Who's bringing the kiln? Going to fire some Klay pots?
I'm not in charge of that stuff.
Some kid making an ashtray.
But that's a great question.
Paper airplanes. We know that paper airplanes are a big part of Klay Thompson. It actually didn't. It didn't feel good when I saw him do that at his first Mavericks press conference. By the way,
now, he's doing planes in
Dallas? For sure. And I'm not saying he shouldn't. He should. That's his thing. But watching him do that, and then watching the Dallas assembled media have no idea what was actually taking place. They're like, "Oh, look at that! He's making a paper airplane." I'm like, "That's what he does, and you're supposed to know that. Do some research." Yep. Anyway,
I might bring out the world record holder for longest thrown paper airplane, according to Guinness Book of World Records. I happen to know him.
Wait, this is actually in the Guinness Book?
Yes, 226 feet, 10 inches. Joe Ayoub, the pride of Terralinda High School, Cal quarterback. He shattered the record. Joe Ayoub. So maybe I'll have him come out and show these young whippersnappers how to throw a paper airplane.
Okay, so this was actually an efforted thing where he was like, I'm going to go break the record, and then he did?
You need to Google it when you have about half an hour of free time.
Joe Ayoub paper airplane?
Correct.
Okay.
If you got to Google it.
If you Google Joe Ayoub, the first thing that comes up is Cal quarterback. The second thing is paper airplane.
Okay.
And he worked with an engineer who I also happen to know. And they fashioned the ultimate paper airplane. They went into a giant airplane hangar, appropriately enough, and he threw this airplane, and he broke the record, 226 feet, 10 inches.
How far is that? Give me
a
sense.
That is about 70 feet. Yards. It's a little bit more than 70 yards.
Whoa.
Yeah.
70 yards?
70 yards.
And what was the previous record?
It was 207. Which was about 65 yards.
Okay.
Shattered it.
I have some bad news for both Dibs and his pal, Joe.
Oh.
I think the record's been broken.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Oh, no.
2022, some children broke it. They threw it 290 feet.
Don't laugh at that.
Some children. That's the most random thing ever. You're just some children? Like where?
Dylan Rubel in Indiana.
Oh, I've heard he has a good arm.
And Nathan Erickson and Garrett Jensen. So there's three children.
There's three of them?
Yeah.
Which one of them threw it? Yeah, there has to be one of them that gets the credit. You can't have three people throw the airplane.
Takes a village.
Nah. Thanks,
unconfirmed.
Lucas. Thanks for ruining Dibs' day.
Never mind, Ayoub.
Yeah.
He was once a world record holder. Can't take that away from him.
That's fair.
He's a boob now.
Dylan Rubel.
In fact, I have the entire list in front of me. Those three children, then there was another group of three people.
When you say children, how young are we talking over here?
I just have a picture at probably 14, 15.
Oh, okay. Okay, so they're teenagers at least.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but in my head when you're like, oh, some children did it, it made it sound like there were seven-year-olds out there or something.
Joe Ayoub, third place, 69.14 meters.
He doesn't even have the silver medal anymore.
Still?
Yeah.
Where are we? Stockholm? Meters.
Anyway, next week's going to be amazeballs.
Yeah.
Okay, was the point. So, Monday, tickets to the game. Tuesday, we're out at the game and giving away a jersey and hosting the carnival, which you can come to and make a paper airplane and throw it at Dibs.
Carnival sounds a little filthy.
It sounds much better than Clay Naval.
It's Clay Naval. It's not Clay Naval.
Yeah, it's gross.
Maybe we can put this out to the listeners tomorrow when we have more time, is better.
Let's call it the Clay Carnival.
Oh, you're so boring.
Yeah,
anyway,
but you got to make sure people know what it is.
Yeah, it's
the Clay Carnival.
I think they got it, Lucas.
Yeah.
Come Clay Games at the Clay Carnival.
There you go. All right, let's go to Mike in the city.
Just make it happen, Lucas.
Hi, Mike. What are you doing?
Hey guys, two quick things. First, on Kerr and Tatum. On the Kerr front, I kind of take the Tim Legler point of view, which basically means that if Kerr had simply played Tatum in the first game against Serbia, like not meaningful minutes, talking like 10, 15 minutes, he would have avoided this in terms of a media issue. And let's say Tatum doesn't even play that well. He can at least go to the media and be like, hey guys, JT's not shooting well. We're going to make some changes. Then you're able to at least spin it in a way that makes a bit more sense. The other thing I'd note, and Willard, this one's more directed at you.
Okay.
For the NBA Finals, who scored the most points from the Celtics in the Finals?
I have no idea. Probably Jason Tatum.
Who had the most rebounds?
What's that?
Who had the most rebounds?
No idea.
Jason Tatum.
If you're making your point that those stats mean that he should have been MVP, I disagree with you, Mike. Like Steph Curry,
it was a 5-4 decision on MVP for what it's worth.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, I mean,
he's only the sixth player in NBA history to lead his team in player points, rebounds, and assists.
Yeah,
like,
he didn't
shoot well.
But yeah, exactly, Mike. You watch the games; he didn't play that well. He was not as good as he normally is.
No. I think you're fundamentally wrong there, and that. A, he was elite defensively, guarded fives, which unlocks everything they do in the finals specifically. Like, the idea that he didn't play well is just false.
Compared to his normal self, Mike.
He did everything else.
Well, but that's a big deal. The first stat you brought up was points. Like, let's be real. What is this about here? I'm not going to sit here and give you DVOA on Jason Tatum. Like, that's fine. He played good defense. If you want to be an elite one dog in the NBA, you got to come. If you're a scorer, you got to come score in the NBA Finals. I'm not taking shots at the guy, but he was not as good as he usually is.
Isn't it about doing everything? Points, rebounds, and assists?
Of course it is.
You can be an elite scorer.
Yeah.
You can be John Morant to the sixth in the conference.
I'm not asking him to do that. I'm asking him to be as good as he normally is, which in my opinion he was not. That's all.
That's fair. I mean, I understand the point. I would just say that, like, given the team and that team's scope, he doesn't need to average 30.
Well,
he can be 27, 10, and 6.
Yeah, that's fine.
And they'll win a ton of games.
That's fine. And they were clearly the best team, Mike. They were clearly the best team. I'm not taking a shot at him. I don't think that in his past he has been at his best in the biggest moments. That doesn't mean that he can't change it. He's young enough to still do that. It doesn't mean that he stunk out loud. I just think he's a little bit lesser in those moments. And Jaylen Brown is kind of the opposite. And I think that's what the eye test told us in that series last year. That's all I'm trying to say.
Fair. I get it. I mean, my only counter to you, just on that front in terms of who is better in the series, is just that it was 5-4 in terms of the voting. Like, you could easily flip it one way or another, and you're going to have a totally different narrative result. The reality is he played well enough to even be there at that point. We'll be done where I'm at.
He did. Yeah, Mike, thank you very much. He did, and then I'll also say this. It's kind of fun to blend the two points that Mike is making together. Check this out. He says, wait a minute, isn't it about being like an all-around player? You don't have to this and you don't have to that. Well, I'd argue that in the first point also. Steve Kerr doesn't have to play him. I don't like when we do this. Why do, and I've heard this from the Warrior fan base at times with conversations we've had, whether it be Jonathan Kuminga or Moses Moody or whatever, why are there these like rules that we make up in our head about what coaches have to do with playing time? He didn't need to play him against Serbia. He didn't need to do anything. He won a gold.
Well, and he actually didn't play in either game against Serbia. As I'm going through the box score, as you fight with callers, the first time they played...
Fighting.
I know. Okay. It's just fun to couch it like okay. that. And the first time they played Serbia in pool play, he didn't play either, nor did Halliburton. So it comes down to what Steve Kerr thought matchup-wise would work. And Jason Tatum had 4 points in one game, 5 in the other. He had 10 and 10 in a third game, and then you got into the semifinal games, and that was it. He didn't feel like the matchups worked for Jason Tatum and what they were trying to do. So it doesn't mean that Kerr thinks Tatum is a bad player. And if Jason wants to use that as fuel, then use it as fuel.
Sure.
And if the Boston crowd wants to take up for Jason and boo Steve Kerr, boo Steve Kerr.
Well, that's what they're built for. Yes, they're right. Looking to boo someone, and so they will, and that's fine. And tonight's game is not a narrative about the Olympics at all. Like, what if Jason goes out and scores 30 and the Celtics win by 10? Ooh, showed you, Steve.
What if he goes out and scores 50 and they lose by 3?
There you go.
Then great. Showed you, Steve, but you lost. And, you know, what if Mazzullo decides not to play him because he thinks the matchup is bad,
well,
like Kerr did in the Olympics.
Yeah, I doubt that with Jaylen right. Brown yeah. out. But, you know, I think the Warriors, the way they've played so far this year, are sort of, I don't want to say uniquely, but they're able in a situation like this where they don't need to worry about Jaylen Brown. They are defensively able to make tonight a very hard game for Jason Tatum. So if he decides that he wants to play hero ball, I think that works to their advantage. I really do.
Yeah, and I don't think that he will try to do that because Boston is a deep team and they're very balanced. And it's a matchup of two teams that are both pretty deep and pretty balanced, you know, beyond Jason Tatum and Steph Curry. And, you know, Steph is going to be hopefully feeling better even than he was the other night, and he only played 24 minutes, so you'd expect him to play additional minutes tonight. But these two teams kind of mirror each other, and Tim Bontemps had an interesting piece today on ESPN, a former contributor here on 95.7 The Game, comparing this year's Boston team to the 73-win Golden State Warriors. And so as you make your way to ESPN, just, you know, Boston Boston off to a great start this year. And
that feels like a little much.
Could be, but you also remember that that Warrior team did not win the title. So
right.
Go ahead, Boston, win 73 and not win the title.
I just think that, eight games in, it's a little early for that article. I haven't read it, but that's,
Yeah, but this team is, Boston is coming off a title.
Sure.
And they are very deep and very talented, so, and I don't think that they have two stars and then a Kevin Durant as well, which would, you know, lead to that comparison.
They're not even the one seed in their own conference right now.
Sure.
So why don't we write that article for the Thunder or the Cavs? Those are the undefeated teams right now.
Exactly.
You know? But anyway, yeah, I think that's an interesting sort of conversation that I hear from a lot of people, even though I don't think conceptually they buy it. They do in a small sample and not in a large. Here's what I mean by that. If I ask any of you, do you think that certain players are owed a certain amount of playing time on a given night? Most of you would probably say no. But then if you whittle it down to one player in a certain game, we often get bothered when the person that we want to see get more minutes doesn't get more minutes. I just think it's sort of an odd position to take. Jason Tatum can be offended by this if he wants. But the final analysis is Team USA played really well, and they won the whole thing, and they got a gold medal. And one of the reasons, and I'm not saying these two players are similar, because Jason Tatum is a proven NBA one, but like one of the reasons everybody loves Buddy Hield so much is because of not just the way he plays, but the stuff that he says. He's if you told Buddy Hield tonight, this guy's your leading scorer so far this year. If you told Buddy tonight, hey, Buddy, like, this matchup is a little tough for you in particular. We're not sure if you're getting in tonight. Don't you think Buddy would be like, fine, I trust you, coach?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
And it's because he's a little bit older and he's a veteran, and you could look similarly to Jonathan Kuminga back in 2022, when you got into the NBA Finals and he played a grand total of 8 minutes in five games. There were two games he didn't play, and in the other four games he played between 48 seconds and 3.5 minutes. Now, did Kuminga at the time think that he was better than that, getting 8 minutes over six games? Probably, but you got to that spot where we're going to go with not a 12-man, not 11, not 10, not 9, we're going with 8.
Yep.
We're playing 8. And that's it. And the rest of you, it's going to be the way it's going to go. And so I'm sure Kuminga was not frustrated, but I'm sure he was antsy to be out there and play.
Yeah, you can be frustrated. I just think this whole like retribution thing is a little bit overplayed.
This is a little different, though, because, I mean, Tatum is, as the caller said, he was one vote away from being the MVP of the finals. And he's a really good player, and he's averaging 30 a night this year. And so he's a top 10 player in the league right now. So if he wants to look at this game and this coach who held him down in the Olympics but also got you a gold medal, I mean, you're allowed to do that, and you can use whatever motivation you want to use.
888-957-9570. Have you already decided that the Warriors are good, or are you waiting for the rest of this week to unfold? Here's what Anthony Slater said on the roast earlier today with regard to how the Warriors are looking at this week.
Yeah, and I will say this. It isn't just the fans or pundits like us that are interested. There's some internal curiosity, you know, about how what they've been doing, the depth they've been showing, the defensive, game planning and that they've, that's been working. You know, their three-point defense, as we mentioned earlier, their offensive execution, which they feel like is still like kind of the weakness so far through the 6-1 start. There's some curiosity internally about how that will play on this bigger stage, better competition. Like, I think they want these tests. I think they want to know what's real and what isn't. You know, what a rotation against the Celtics like might look like in the second half tonight, where if they're down 12 and they feel like they need to chase down a win, you know, does he suddenly, instead of playing 10, 11, stretching it towards 12 men, does it become a 9-man rotation? Who does he close with?
Okay, I love all those questions. And that tonight is very, very interesting for all of those reasons. Because the Warriors, like, and I wonder, sometimes you can try too hard at things. And so I wonder about that dynamic tonight. The Celtics are mad, their fans are going to boo, and Jason Tatum wants to show you something. And it sounds to me like Steve Kerr and the Warriors are like, let's roll the ball out there and learn a little bit more about ourselves and see what happens. Well, that means one team is kind of emotionally charged, and the other one is like, well, like we got nothing to lose, and let's just kind of check it out. Sometimes that sort of blasé attitude works in your favor.
Yeah, because the expectations are much lower for the Warriors. If you're Boston and you're coming off a title and you're taking on the big brother, as I laid out earlier, I do think that Boston sees the Warriors and has a little bit of a chip on their collective shoulder. So, yeah, you want to go out there and show them. And if you're Tatum, you want to show Steve Kerr and you want to show Steph, and the Boston crowd wants to show Draymond and show Steve and show the Warriors that, you know, we're the new dynasty. It's our time now, and we're going to stack titles like you stack titles. And so we're going to show you that we're the new thing now, and you're yesterday's news. So I do think for Boston, that plays into it. And for the Warriors, it's game eight, and there are, after tonight, there's going to be 74 more of these, and it's non-conference. And yeah, Boston's good, and it's a good check-in to see where we are. But Steve and Steph and Draymond and Kevon and Wiggins and all the rest of the veterans especially, they know that it's more about April and May than it is about November and December.
How do you feel about the idea of a moral victory tonight? What if the Warriors lose by five?
Nah, they lose. Who cares?
They lose, who cares?
There's no moral victory.
No, but I mean, that has to feel different than if they lose by 25.
Not really.
It doesn't?
It feels different, but it doesn't feel better.
Yeah, see, to me it does. I like, again, and I don't...
If you lose by 25 and Steph plays 25 minutes and Draymond plays 25 minutes and those guys shut it down in the third quarter...
That's a lot of 25s.
Well, then I feel good about that.
You do.
If you're going to get blown out, then get blown out. See, and then go ahead and rest your guys for Friday.
When I look at these three games, that's sort of my motto. I don't need a win. I need a game. I want the Warriors.
Again, it's process versus results, me and you, because I'm completely on the other side.
Well, no, you just said no big deal if they lose by a lot.
Yeah, I just want, of the next three, I want one victory.
Yeah, that's fair, too. I'm with you on
results.
That. I'm with you on that, but I don't want to see the Warriors get totally outclassed, because I do think that that is going to make people feel like last year all over again.
I get that, but I'm not really concerned with how people feel. I'm concerned about how they feel, and honestly, how I feel. And if you win one of these games and you're 7-3 coming home, that's great. Doesn't matter if you lose by 50 and then win by one and then lose by 50 again. Although the Oklahoma City game, to me, that is one where
that's hard.
I want you to actually... I'm more interested in you competing with them than I am in you competing with Boston.
That's the hardest one of the group, though. I think.
Well, it's the end of a five-game trip.
Yeah, it's the end of a trip, and they are so young and talented and at home and fast and all of that. 888-957-9570. If we offered you 8-3 at the end of next Tuesday's game against Klay Thompson and the Mavericks, would you take it? That means they'd go 2-2 over the next four. At Boston tomorrow, at Cleveland Friday, at Oklahoma City Sunday. Those three teams combined have lost one game so far. And then Klay comes Tuesday night. Are you happy or not with 2-2 in those four games? We can take some calls next. Keep having some fun as we move toward the game. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Willard and Dibs.
And the Golden State Warriors have recaptured home court in the NBA Finals with a stirring 107-97 win here at TD Garden. 43 points for Stephen Curry. And the Golden State Warriors go back to Chase Center for Game 5 after closing this one out on a 21-11 run. And a stunned Boston crowd. They were here to celebrate 3-1. But now have to wonder what's going to happen when they come back for Game 6. Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
How much does this get the hair on the back of the neck standing up? Just in terms of, you know, we talked a lot about this, I feel like, lately. So the Dallas Cowboys played the 49ers. The Dodgers won the World Series.
Oh, boy. Did that really happen? It was all the dream. I used to read Word Up magazine.
There's a lot of it going around lately.
Yeah, boy.
Where's Boston? Does Boston Are they in that conversation?
They are above Dallas, in my opinion, right now.
What do you mean by above?
In the hair on the neckometer.
Oh, they bother you more than the Cowboys?
They do.
Really?
Just because of recent ownage and the fact that Dallas is almost a pat them on their head, send grandpa back to the home sort of a situation and embarrassment. Where Dallas is right now with their bumbling owner, his not very astute son.
Yeah, they're a mess.
The quarterback who's overpaid, who I actually like. Their running back who he's hurt. And then the other guy, we're going to deactivate you. And then there's some Dowdle guy.
Yeah.
And poor CeeDee Lamb is out there with 27 targets and 23 catches and a loss. Dallas to me is like kind of a quaint History Channel rivalry story.
Well, they're hilarious.
They're hellacious.
Their trade deadline yesterday, if you were bothered by what the Niners did, the Cowboys were hilarious.
They got Mingo.
Mingo.
We're talking about M-I-N-G-O and Mingo was his name.
Yeah, I did not have him on my Mingo card.
That's a four.
I know that. The owner, Jerry Jones, goes on the radio earlier that morning.
Yep, sister station.
And he says, this is before the trade's even been announced. Now we got a receiver we're bringing in here that who we really like. Who we really like.
It's a two for your Jerry.
And then you gave up a sixth round draft pick.
Something.
For like the worst receiver on the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, there's that.
What the hell are you doing?
That's why I do think that for me right now, Boston is ahead of Dallas on the hair on the back of my neckometer.
Hmm.
The Dodgers are still number one, and they always will be, in terms of, God, I hate them, and I want to beat them at all times. And then I would put Philadelphia ahead of the Dallas Cowboys, the Eagles, just because of what happened in the championship game, and also what happened to our brothers, Bonte and Joe. That sticks with me.
That's all fair, but I feel like some of that's in the moment. Like, I mean, the history of the star, like the Dallas Cowboys, are pretty annoying.
Yes.
I don't think that goes away that easily just because they're silly now.
I'm not saying it goes away, but in terms of recent ownage, the fact that you've beaten them badly the last few times.
But, I mean, have you not owned the Celtics, at least when it matters?
Yes, sure. But now they're defending champs.
Okay.
And what they did to Draymond in the finals, even though they lost finals.
It didn't work.
No, but just I think, and maybe part of it for me is my general sports hatred of Boston anyway. Like Dallas, I don't like the Cowboys, but if you want to get me all animated about the Texas Rangers or the Dallas Stars or the Dallas Mavericks, it's just not going to happen.
Well, the Mavericks are now an emotional team.
They are. But like Tuesday, the emotions aren't going to be like...
No, it's not rivalry
you,
stuff.
Dallas.
No, it's not. No, it's not that. Although you hate Luka. You hate watching Luka.
I don't like the way he throws his European body around.
And you don't like the way that he interacts with officials. Say it.
And I also don't like the flat earther who is his teammate.
Okay, so there you go. You hate the Mavericks.
I kind of dislike them.
Yes.
They're not in my top five of teams I hate.
No, but Dallas as a city apparently is.
No, I don't mind Dallas. I had a good time there.
Well, that's different. You're going to have a good time in Boston, too.
We went to the grassy knoll, and there was a giant sign that said, grassy knoll. And so we took a picture in front of the sign that said grassy knoll.
That's good advertising.
Pretty funny.
It's good marketing.
Because you probably wouldn't have known. It was a grassy knoll, but I didn't know that it was the grassy knoll.
Right.
If it wasn't for the 64-point font on this bright yellow sign,
I could have a good time in Los Angeles, but don't even start with their sports teams.
Sure.
Even start with their sports teams.
I mean, of the three, you hate the Rams the least.
Well, yeah,
just because they're the Rams.
They're whatever. They don't care about them down there.
And maybe I'm being prisoner of the moment, but the Boston Celtics right now, I'm fully, completely agitated. And I'm excited about tonight's game. And maybe it's because you only play them twice a year, right? Like, we can all talk about the Lakers, and I don't like the Lakers. And I've got a deep history of disliking and hating the Lakers because of what they used to do to my beloved Oakland Coliseum Arena, where you'd go to a game and there'd be 84% Laker fans, and there'd be Magic jerseys and Kareem jerseys and Worthy. This is my childhood pre-Shaq and Kobe, of course. but it was just nauseating. And the Warriors would hang around. They'd cut it to three in the third, and then it'd be 118-99 yep. Lakers every single time.
Yep.
So personally, for me, the Lakers are always higher on the list, but you only play the Celtics twice, and you only go to Boston once, so maybe it's prisoner of the moment, but I'm all amped up about tonight.
Comcast Business Text Line has some interesting responses to what we're talking about, and again, taking your phone calls, if we gave you 8-3 at the end of next Tuesday night, are you happy with that? 888-957-9570, they are at Boston tonight. They are at Cleveland on Friday. They are at Oklahoma City Sunday. They host Klay Thompson and the Dallas Mavericks on Tuesday in a game that will have not only us, but Steiny and Goo out on the plaza getting you ready for that one all afternoon long on 95.7 The Game. Let's see, 707. If we lose by five the next day, it's a should-have-won mentality. So almost would rather lose by a lot. 408, 2-2 is good if we beat the Western Conference teams. Problem is, there's only one of them on the schedule in the next four.
No, if Oklahoma City.
Oh, no, you're right. Yep, yep, my bad. If we lose to Boston and Cleveland, it's no biggie. The conference are the bigger W's. I can jive with that.
Yep.
I just happen to think that Oklahoma City is going to be the hardest one.
Agreed. I mean, if you look at the history of any team with a five or more game road trip, the record in that last game of said road trip is probably about a 33% win percentage at the last game of any road trip that's more than four games.
917 says absolutely take the 8-3, and I'm with dibs on beating Boston and Dallas as the two wins.
Yeah, you'd like to beat OKC, but you know, that's going to be a tall order. For me, it's Boston for the emotions of it, and it's Dallas because of a number of factors. One, the Klay game, but really the most important part of that, Mark, it's the first game in the IST. And you know how much that means to me. The in-season tournament starts next Tuesday.
I wonder what they're going to do with the floor here. But that game is here.
They got to gussy it up. It can't be just a regular old floor.
Are they doing more this year? I heard they were like, they're going to do something else too, not just like fancy paint on the floor, right? I don't know what
I'll
else.
I'll Google it, yeah.
But I think that they're going to do more.
And I'm fascinated by what the Warriors are going to do super, super special for Klay. Like, I don't think you're just going to retire his number.
I don't think they will do that at all.
I think they'll do that later.
Later, yes.
I think they're going to do something even bigger.
I think it's something that no one's thinking of.
A giant ice sculpture of Klay.
You saying he's cold?
Ooh, he's ice cold. When he's dialed in, he's so, so cold.
I did, like when we were talking about the carnival, the Klay. And by the way,
carnival.
Well, somebody said, we'll just call it the Klay Day Carnival. And I'm like, that's better.
It is.
That's better. So maybe we'll just end up doing that.
Pretty wordy, but yeah.
No, anyway, we're talking about, right, we'll have a little pool out there so you can go on a toy boat ride with Klay. You can make paper airplanes. And someone said, you should have a little area where you can build a house with bricks.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, are we doing this next week?
I wish I didn't think that was funny and clever.
We've got time. We've got four more shows after this one before Klay Thompson and the Mavericks take the floor. But, like, are some of you feeling mean-spirited in a way for the build-up to that game? Bricks? Really? That's how you want to welcome him back to town?
We're going to have a mini hoop, and if you can successfully miss 10 straight shots, you get a prize. You get a trip to Sacramento. Da, 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 da.
Here's Steve Kerr on the test that is waiting for them in the next three games.
In the course of 82 games, you just the schedule can go back and forth. Your health, lots of stuff can happen. You know, if you win 6 out of 7 in February, it doesn't get on the radar as easily as it does when you win 6 of your first 7 to start the season. So, you know, I know everybody is singing our praises, but the schedule has been kind to us to this point, and we're about to play probably the three best teams in the league the rest of this week. So great test for us. No matter what happens, we've got a ton of work ahead of us. I'm excited because when I watch the tape, I see all kinds of growth ahead of us. But it's going to take a lot of work and it's going to take some time.
And Draymond Green also talking about the environment that he expects to encounter in Beantown.
We beat them in NBA Finals a few years ago. and then they just won one. So they want to dish everything back to us about them just winning one. And, you know, it's always a hostile environment. So don't expect anything different. It'll be a tough environment against a very good team, great team, tough team to play against. But it's a hostile environment just like any other hostile environment.
And we have an update.
Yeah?
We have an update on tonight's game. In fact, we have two updates on tonight's game. It will not be a 12-man rotation for the Golden State Warriors. I'll start with this one, and it is that Steph Curry, according to Steve Kerr, has had any minutes restriction lifted. There will be no minutes restriction for Steph Curry. He is at full health and ready to go for the game in Boston that starts here in an hour and 15 minutes. So that's number one. But number two, Pods is out.
He's out?
Yeah, that illness that took him out of the game in the middle of the game a couple of nights ago is still in him, whatever it is. He is not feeling well enough to go. So there is no Brandon Pajemski in the game tonight for Golden State. I think that's actually a pretty big loss.
It's a huge loss. A guy who does a ton for you off the bench, and he's certainly a glue guy. He can rebound for you, score a little bit, distribute, plays great D, takes charges, but that doesn't necessarily prevent them from having a 12-man rotation because you still have Guy Santos and Pat Spencer. So I wouldn't put it past Steve to go ahead and slide one of those dudes in there.
I would.
Keep it 12.
I would.
Steve's comfortable with his dozen.
Yeah, what are we doing? I mean,
I do think it's more interesting to see if he goes to a 9 or a 10-man rotation, knowing that this is a I don't know if it's a big game, but, you know, Boston's going to be competitive. It's going to be tough. I wonder if he doesn't shorten down a little bit.
I think what we're hearing from everyone is that they don't look at tonight. Of course you want to win it, but they don't look at tonight as anything special in the standings. They look at tonight as an opportunity to find out what the hell's going on. And that's actually how I look at it. Tonight is an opportunity to find out what is actually going on. That's why I am so in on this game. Because the Warriors are 6-1, and I can feel it, Warrior fans. You're not sure yet. You're not sure yet whether or not to believe this. And tonight is an opportunity to find out. It's the first real opportunity to find out what's actually going on. And if it doesn't go well, that doesn't mean that we've got all the answers. And by the way, if it does go well, it doesn't mean that we've got all the answers. I think it's a series of these opportunities. But tonight is opportunity number one to go, what do we really got here? Which is, I think, an interesting sort of conversation to have. Like, what do you think that we've actually got here? And the options are like a paper tiger or an actual surprising contender, or option three, I would say, a good basketball team that's jockeying for position to make itself an even better basketball team.
And that's probably what the answer is no matter what happens tonight. And, you know, you could look at the next four games, and if they emerge 10-1 or 6-5 or somewhere in between, because those are the options. Over the next four, you're 6-1 right now. You could be 10-1, 9-2, 8-3, 7-4, or 6-5. No matter what happens over the next four games, I personally don't look at it and say, okay, now I'm going to make a sweeping statement about who you are. If they win all four and they're 10-1, I'm not going to suddenly say, well, you're a championship team now. It's NBA finals or bust.
Well, no, it's
and
November.
If you go 6-5, I'm not going to look and say, well, you can't beat good teams. You're going to be a play-in team. Man, I hope you can get the 10 seed.
No,
for me, these four games are not about sweeping statements. It's a good, solid check-in, though. It's a good time to check in and see where you're at and how you can do against good teams.
Okay, but then do you count this as a sweeping statement? Because I'm going to do it tomorrow if they win tonight. I'm going to come in here tomorrow and say, I'm going to rub my hands together, too. We got something. If they win tonight, I'm saying it.
Well, I'll say it even if they lose, because I think that we've got something.
Okay.
And, you know, it's 6-1, but the way they're going about being 6-1, they played a couple of really bad teams, and they throttled them. It wasn't how'd they get away with that one? Portland and Utah were never in that game. New Orleans came in with their two best players, and you took them apart. The Clippers got you fine. Houston was good. You beat him and you lost to him, and then you beat him again.
Yeah, like, I don't know that. By the way, that's something that's probably being undersold. I don't think the Houston Rockets are a bad team.
No, they're good.
Yeah,
they're
I don't think that about
them
at all.
I think that's a good win.
I mean, they're 4-3, but it's not even just about their record. Like, I remember them from last year looking at them and going, you're young. You're not bad. You're just young. And now you're a year older.
And the way they ended the year last year, they ended the year with a flurry of wins.
The Houston Rockets might be a play-in team.
Oh, for sure.
They might be a play-in
team. Definitely a play-in team.
I don't know about definitely. I mean,
well, if you take Utah and Portland and you put them in the corner, now we're down to 13 teams in the West.
Spurs aren't going
to. Now we're down to 12 teams.
Okay.
So you got 12 to make 10. So there are going to be two teams that are on the outside looking in.
They might be one of those teams.
And Memphis too.
Yeah, there's Memphis. There's New Orleans.
Yep.
I don't know. Like they're injured. They're going to get people back. They're 3-5. But yeah, Memphis.
And I'm not putting the Adorables.
I was going to say.
You know, the Sacramento Kings. I'm not putting the Adorables necessarily in a firm spot.
No, so definitely not.
As far as rubbing your hands together, I look at what we've seen. Forget the record. 6-1 is great. But just looking at this team feels like a top six team in the West. Not for sure, because nothing is for sure. But I think that they're already a real team.
Look, to your point. To your point now, I know that we owe small sample size. You're getting overly excited. Do you know how many teams in the Western Conference have fewer than three losses? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't. I would guess. Well, I know two for sure, and that would be the end of the list.
Okay.
I know Dallas has three.
There's actually, only three teams. There's three teams. Oklahoma City has not lost.
Number three.
And the Suns and Warriors have only lost
the
once.
Suns. That's
right. The Suns and Warriors are both 6-1. And then it falls all the way to 4-3. And that's silly in an NBA season to get excited about that. We're seven games in. But my point is, like, I think we're overstating the whole, well, they haven't beaten anybody. Well, no. It's the NBA. It's the NBA. You lose a lot of your road games no matter who you're playing. And I don't think Houston is that bad. I know New Orleans was beat up, but I don't think they're that bad. Plus, you did it in one of those back-to-back soirees that's really weird and hard to do when you're playing the exact same team two nights in a row. And so defensively, they sort of know what to do. They know what adjustment to make, what have you. Look at the history of those back-to-backs. It's a lot of splits. And I remember a lot of people going into that whole thing going, it'd be great if the Warriors could come out with a split. Well, they came out with both of them. So to your point, I don't think you can go 6-1 and actually not be a pretty good team, but it's just that you happen to be playing really bad teams. I don't really buy that. I don't really buy that, especially with the fact that they're winning almost exclusively by double digits.
Yeah, they have the second best point differential in basketball. OKC with a 17.4. They're at 17.3 point differential. And that includes the game against Houston where they were up by 31 and they had to hold on for dear life to win in overtime. But you dominated Portland and Utah. You handled New Orleans twice. You beat Houston on the road. I think that you can start to look at some of these wins, the way they've won it, and really put some stock in the fact that this team is real. So I'm going to come in tomorrow, even if they lose tonight and it's ugly and it's lopsided and things get out of hand, I still come in tomorrow if they're 6-2 and rub my hands together and still think that they're real.
Well, you may well be right. By the way, just to answer, we did get a couple people reaching out saying, where is Greg Cosell dunking on Dan Dibley?
Oh, boy.
Where is that? I show up on Wednesdays.
When you look at the Niners receivers between Juwan Jennings and Debo and Brandon Ayuk, who is the...
Yeah, where's Dan Dibley getting dunked on by Greg Cosell? And
that was my fault.
That
sorry.
Was
and
really
also,
awkward.
where is Mark Grandy going with this segment?
Yeah.
What was that? What were you?
It was Dibs' question to Cosell that turned into Cosell saying that was a great question, but I forgot how long the drop was.
Yeah, it took too long. You want to play something else? You can hit anything else you want right now.
It's a great question.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
So, but where is it? Well, it'll be tomorrow. It'll be right. Are we doing it tomorrow?
Yep.
Greg Cosell tomorrow, right? Yeah, because we got the Warriors are about to play the Celtics, and We're not going to put a muzzle on Greg. We're not going to ask him to shorten it up or tighten it up. That's not what we're about around here.
I hope he was watching the game on Monday night because I've got a lot of questions from the tape, Tampa and KC tape, that we want to get into. Because we're not going to go all the way back and look at the Dallas game, right? from 11 days ago? That seems foolish to me.
No, we probably will a little bit. It's not so much the Dallas game. It's more the generalities of the certain individuals and the way they're playing.
And I hope he's ready for some Khalil Davis questions about whether or not he can be the answer on the D-line.
Lucas, will you please get Greg Cosell ready for Khalil Davis questions?
He better already be ready.
He's not ready. But come on, that's a third-string defensive tackle on
not
the Texans.
Anymore. Now he's our guy.
Yeah, I think he's still third string.
Well, I mean, second string probably. Yeah, he's going to play.
Brian Windhorst of ESPN says the Warriors, he did Western Conference power rankings. He's got the Warriors fourth.
Was that just Western? I thought that was the whole NBA.
No, that was a Western Conference.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair.
He's got the T-Wolves, the Suns, and the Thunder ahead of the Warriors.
And even if they lose tonight, I think you would still keep them in that same spot. For me, anyway. I don't look at tonight's game as a show me you're real or not.
It doesn't grab your attention that he has them ahead of Denver. He has them ahead of the Nuggets. He has them ahead of the Mavs.
Yes and no, but I think Denver might be on the downside of their run.
You might be right.
Yeah. And I know Aaron Gordon is currently out. So.
And they're not getting the normal production that they do out of certain members of their team. Right now, Jamal Murray stands out as someone who doesn't quite look right. So I don't know if something's going on there or if that's lasting or what have you. But, you can look at this and be like, dude, tiny sample. And then there are other mathematical ways to say it, too, as in this is 10% of the season. After tonight, that's it. That's 10% of the season.
Yep.
I don't think it's crazy to start making some general statements.
You can, but at the same time, if this was an NFL season and you were 10% of the year in, which is two games, and your team was 2-0, you know, you might say, oh, it's Super Bowl. We're going to the bowl. But it's only two games out of 17 in the NFL.
Do you know what's about to happen on this radio station?
I have no idea.
Yeah, you do. It's Warriors Live.
It's better when I say that I don't have any idea.
Yeah, because then I can unveil it. I appreciate that. That was nice of you. We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. And hang out, because the countdown starts now. Tip-off is in an hour, and Warriors Live is next on Willard and Dibbs.